grave. He needed the steak. He died of coronary artery.
Yeah. Well, they're making an attempt to bring fine dining to the area.
Yeah. You have to come for the... The buzz about that restaurant's good.
Good, yeah.
I have a foodie guy helping me with my diagnostic company. That eats here. Mm-hmm. Recommended it.
Yeah. San Francisco is the place for foodies, the real.
Yes. And I have some very strong friendships there. Mm-hmm. In fact, sometime earlier this year, I got a call in the middle of the night from my friend, Doug Epstein, a dermatologist in Oakland. Mm-hmm. And he was at a party in San Francisco, and he was standing next to John Baxter's widow.
Uh-huh.
And wanted to kind of review, because they had been out to dinner with us once.
John just died like a year ago or something.
Yeah,
right?
Until that call, I didn't know that he had died. I got the impression maybe it's been 2 years.
But maybe, I'm
not sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. So this is an old neighborhood?
Mm-hmm. It's a very nice neighborhood. There's big houses.
Yeah, they get bigger as we move out towards 50th Street here.
Well, compared to, you know, if you go to Berkeley, California, you get these little cracker boxes, right? You pay $1 million for a cracker box. If you pay $1 million in Minneapolis.
No, these houses are selling for $200,000 or something.
Yeah, see, what a deal for people from California.
Let's assume this is 50th.
I don't see a sign, but...
I came by here the other day for the first time in a long time because I need new eyeglass frames for a store. It wasn't where I remembered it. You're warm enough?
Yeah, I'm fine.
So, I live most of my life around here.
Mm-hmm. And you're not going to go to warmer climes. You're going to stay.
Going to stay. Mm-hmm. Last year we had a conversation with children. We had 3 boys.
Mm-hmm.
At that time they were all living in L.A. Subsequently one has moved to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
He's become our favorite son. And they said, why don't you come out here to L.A.? Why don't you retire? Come out here to L.A.? No, I didn't. We built out in the country in 2003, moved in January 2004.
Mm-hmm.
We'll give it some more time.
And your wife likes to be...
Yes, we've made good friends out there. She's much more social than I am. She never worked since I kicked her out of the lab.
Uh-huh.
I told everybody I married her because she was such a terrible laboratory technician. But she belonged to the union at Einstein. And I couldn't get her out of the lab unless I married her. And out here she decided, that she had a lot of free time on her hands, and we don't have any income from the crack business, so why doesn't she substitute teach? You could. They changed the law there, and you can substitute teach without a teaching degree. So she does. She subs.
Great.
She loves it. She has a master's degree in fine arts. She's an artist.
Does she teach art?
She teaches art in high school, middle school, grade school, but she teaches anything. She does a fair amount of special ed. And then stuff that other substitutes don't like to do, like music, band, stuff like that. And she can read music.
Great. So it's a labor of love.
So she has a labor of love. She's more of a textile artist in recent years, and she's got a lot of support along those lines out there. Last place was actually right here. It's not.
Looks like a trendy. It's been taken over by a trendy. I don't know what is that clothing? Looks like probably clothing.
I think so.
Either clothing or furniture, one of the two.
What does it say on the top?
It just says it doesn't say.
Doesn't.
Yeah.
I have to look in the
phone. A lot of nice little shops.
Yeah, that's it. Antique area. We have a lot of old pine furniture that we bought in the early mid 70s at that intersection.
So Mark Patashny's neighborhood is somewhere.
It's right where we are right now.
Yeah, this is it.
Right over there. Half a dozen blocks in that way.
Yeah.
I think he lived on Zenith.
I
don't know where we are. We went to Southwest High School, which is 4 or 5 blocks to my right.
I'm trying to
and
get
now
in.
We're, now we're, we've just moved into the suburb of Edina.
Okay.
What were you saying?
I need to get to Mark Patashny for an interview.
Ah.
I've interviewed a lot of the Genetics Institute people, and they all say he's a little difficult. He's got a reputation.
Yeah.
Being brilliant,
How about Mark Goldberg? Have you talked to him?
No, it's the Genetics Institute? Or?
No, yes, he was. Had a business development there for some
years.
Oh,
no, I didn't.
And he's an interesting guy.
Yeah.
His father, Ray Goldberg, headed agriculture teachings at the ag business at the Harvard Business School. And actually coined the term ag business. Ray Goldberg.
Oh, okay.
And his son ran, one of his careers has been running the Biotech Association for the state of Massachusetts. And he's a wonderful man who knows a lot of that history.
Okay, good. I've got a lot of names on the recording here.
He has a venture fund, the name of which, in Boston, the name of which slips me.
I can look it up. I can Google,
yes.
Google Ray and that will...
Yeah. I haven't talked to Mark probably in 2 years. I hope Ray's still alive. He'd be quite old.
Mark has the
Mark is the one you
yeah.
want to talk to.
Okay. Yeah, I think we're going to do an article on Genetics Institute for the next issue of our magazine. Figure out where we can fit in the molecular genetics piece.
Good. Well, yeah. We're all alive.
so I should...
I mean, the pharmaceutical thing took years, right? But the company
changed
its name.
Did they get a product?
Yeah. Yeah.
It became MGI, is that
MGI
right?
MGI Pharma.
And then they changed it to something else, right?
Well, it got bought by Eisai for $3.6 billion.
A lot of value in it.
Yes. So, yes. Mm-hmm. Now, did Tony and I have anything in the world to do with that? Absolutely nothing.
Well, still, it's, you know...
Left him with a lot of cash.
Yeah. So that's something to do with it, yeah.
Yeah, we raised the first money.
Mm-hmm. So it's got to be gratifying to be part of that whole thing, right? All become today.
Yeah. In that particular instance, I don't know. Some of those young scientists had stock, and they never sold that stock, probably, until Eisai bought them out.
Uh-huh. So they got very rich, huh?
So they certainly made a nice chunk of money. Mm-hmm. The stock...
Were you
sold.
In the early days, were you handing out stock Genentech?
Were.
Yeah.
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 Sure were.
I think by the end of the 80s, the venture capitalists had sort of put a stop to that.
I still use stock options.
Yeah, but the...
Not any way the same way.
Did the industry change for you over time? Become more professionalized or more...
It didn't... it fragmented. It really didn't hold together so much as my mind is... as an industry, right? The plant stuff went one way.
Right.
Ag stuff, pharmaceutical stuff went another way. I don't know. I didn't have great expectations. I didn't feel like we were creating an industry.
Yeah, but you did.
We were just...
I mean, that's what happened.
We were just out to amuse ourselves. I remember when we started the company... Tony and our wives, we went out to dinner one night. Why would we start this company? Well, I needed, Deanie and I, my wife and I wanted a cabin in northern Minnesota. Maybe we'd be able to afford to buy a cabin. What do you want, Kathy Ferris? She wanted a carpet remnant for her den. That was the extent of our ambition. Mm-hmm. But we were doing things that we believed in, and we thought that you could identify product areas where you could really make an important impact and change. And I've kind of never lost that feeling.
And so you're still looking for those.
Yeah, I think this cancer diagnostic that I'm fussing with is just such an example.
Well, I'd like to get more of the details at another time, but what's the elevator pitch for that?
Yeah. I'm just going out now to try to raise some money for it.
And is it gene based?
No, it's just a simple ELISA immunoassay that somehow or other got subverted and shelved about a decade ago, and I'm trying to get it off the shelf and reinvigorated. Your hotel's gone out warm. I'm going to show you something.
Okay. Are we gonna go see the original site?
Yeah,
okay, good, good.
We can find it. I don't really look for it, but it's here.
Yeah, probably a lot of this stuff has been built up in that time, right?
I don't know. There's nobody behind us. What's that in there? See, they've done a lot of building in here.
Right. Roger Salquist took us to see the original Calgene there, and the day we went, they had protesters protesting against Monsanto in Davis. They were they had the Prop 37 thing going on. Is this the park?
This is called Parkway 3. But it looks just like this.
Mm-hmm.
So this might just as well be it. I can tell you, this is it, and you won't know the difference. Yeah.
So was it just a low-rise industrial park building?
And I found a clever 5245. It's empty, isn't it?
Yeah. Think this is it?
I mean, that's it.
Okay, great.
But it's space has been split up. And we built a little mezzanine up there. My office was upstairs.
Uh-huh.
And when we started BioSeeds, I came back here and rented it again.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking for some space for my diagnostic company last year. And I called an agent in St. Paul, because that'd be a lot closer for me. And it turned out that his brother managed this complex. That was weird.
Hmm.
And he knew me. He had,
Do you remember?
I have not remembered him.
Yeah.
But he remembered me.
Mm-hmm.
5245 Italian Industrial Building.
Mm-hmm.
So that was it. And we built... we had a mouse room in there because we were doing monoclonals.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
you didn't mention that. What were
And so we're not finished with that story.
Okay.
Because you're going to meet a guy by the name of Peter Sadowski, who did the monoclonal work. He came as a postdoc from the NIH Hamilton Laboratory in Montana.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first commercialization of a therapeutic monoclonal antibody.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It was an animal?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was, you fed the monoclonal to newborn calves.
You fed it?
Yeah.
It went through the gastrointestinal?
Because newborn calves don't have anything to... Yes, that's why they have passive immunity from their mother's milk.
Oh, okay.
Hmm?
Yeah.
So, I don't know what that window is, but the disease is scours. It's an E. coli diarrhea in calves.
Mm-hmm.
And the product was called Genicol, Genicol 99, because it was K99 E. coli. And that was really the first, and Peter did that.
Okay.
And Peter's
is he here?
He's not only here in town, but he's the chief scientific officer of a company that I started.
Okay.
And I'm no longer with.
Mm-hmm.
That's a public company.
Okay, well then.
Ontario's Pharma. Yeah, I'll get some of these thoughts down on paper.
Okay, great. And I'll come back, I'll talk to Peter, and.
Bill Pelichinsky, and Bill. Is only up here in the summertime because he has kept his home in St. Louis.
Uh-huh. I need to go down to St. Louis, though. I need to go talk to the Monsanto people. I need to talk to Will Carpenter, Rob Fraley, Rob Horsch, or there's some others.
Yeah.
Those guys, their crew.
Yeah, I remember them. There was a terrific research director at Monsanto. I can't think of his name.
Jaworski?
Yeah.
Ernie Jaworski? Yeah. He's, I think he's still around, so I need to find
him. He's older than I. Is he?
Okay.
He must be over 80.
Yeah. I haven't seen an obituary, so I need to. I hope he's around and can talk to us. Yeah.
He originated a great deal of that vision that they had. He's important to you. Mark?
Frank, thanks very much. Thanks for coming all this way.
And we'll stay in touch and figure out when we'll next get together.
Okay, great. Drive safely on the way home.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you.